And let's start the show.
Hi, I'm Brian. This is the SDR Gamer Podcast, episode 10.
Yay!
I'm Sam. With me is Sam. It is... Do we even put the dates in these things anymore?
Dude, nobody knows anything.
Today, it is June. No, it is July.
I'm telling you, we rarely know.
It's July 9th, 2011. We're here to talk some shit about some games. So, Sam, what have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing? Well, I should have been playing... I know I've talked so much about The Witcher, and I mean, believe it or not, I'm still playing that game.
I was checking. I believe it.
They just do not, I mean, except for like BioWare and a couple of other companies, they just do not make RPGs like that anymore. I mean, even BioWare, one could say that they've you know, gone off in a different focus of more like action-oriented RPGs, but I've talked about it on the podcast.
One could say that one would be wrong, but...
Well...
Dragon Age, man, come on.
It's more, it's very combat-y, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's,
certainly Dragon Age 2 is.
It's very action-y. Yeah, the first one definitely is a different story. Also, the guys who make...
But The Witcher isn't combat-y? I mean, it's...
It has a combat system, you know, I mean, but it's...
I have a combat system in my pants, so...
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did that man from BioWare do to me?
I don't know, but if he tried to show you your combat system...
Yeah, something's gone terribly wrong. Totally derailed you.
I've talked about The Witcher so much on the podcast. I just like to say that I checked my slash played on Steam, and last week or something, it was at 40 hours, and I've definitely played like 10 hours since then. So that game is just super deep.
So you're probably around 50 hours now.
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't checked it since then.
Yeah.
That game is just super deep. I was thinking, so we had a Twitter exchange about Risen.
Mostly me saying, don't do it, you're an idiot.
You know, to be fair, I did download the demo for Risen at one point.
And so did I.
There was a complete blanket of fog over everything, because I think my NVIDIA drivers weren't happy with the game, so...
Yeah, I downloaded it, and it crashed 30 seconds after I started the game, and that's where I was like, nope, fuck this.
To be fair, I've gotten a new video card since then, so...
I haven't, so it's still going to crash 30 seconds after I start it, so...
But those guys, I don't remember who makes those games, and the Gothic games.
The Gothic games, I can't remember either.
They seem to be pretty stalwart in the making traditional RPGs, and Bethesda, of course, you know.
The Gothic games are...
Notoriously buggy.
Yeah, I mean... And it's just they can't don't seem to be able to get the jank out of their games.
Yeah,
you know, say what you will about Bethesda and BioWare in terms of more little more focused experiences, but at least their games will run.
Well, they work to a certain extent, you know. Yeah. But I mean, that was the thing about Risen that people were saying that when it came out that it was the most like runnable without mods games of its you know of those I can't remember the developers' names. So I don't know, but not that it's you know necessarily worth playing, but the Risen 2 might be interesting. Anyway, so I've been playing a bunch of that. I think that's what I've been. I played some DDO and some other stuff. You know, nothing exactly new-ish. Been reading a bunch of a book that you gave me called Snow Crash. And,
it's my damn fault. I gave you another way to entertain yourself.
You are an enabler.
Well, that's for sure.
That
book is totally rad.
Super awesome. Listeners aren't familiar with it. It's sort of written, I think, in '93 by Neil Stephenson.
Yep.
Neil Stephenson, cyberpunk, one of the forerunners of the genre. Very cool stuff. Uncannily cool stuff, and like the stuff that he's the extrapolations he's made on current technology that he could not have known in terms of the internet and stuff. Watched Blade Runner last night. Also, sort of obviously on a cyberpunk kick since we've been playing a lot of Shadowrun.
Yep.
Educating myself about the genre. Pretty cool. That's about it for this week, I think. I feel like I've played other things and I can't remember what they are. But I've been reading a lot, so yeah. Maybe.
Did watching Blade Runner make you want to learn origami?
No, but other things have in the past.
Man.
Yeah. Edward James Olmos is awesome.
Yes.
And the fact that he does
much everything,
cool.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? After months and months and even years of sitting around on your copy of Assassin's Creed 2...
I hate you and you suck.
The Steam Summer Sale began, and they promptly put Assassin's Creed 2 and Ass Creed Bro, or Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, as it's really known.
Please send your hate mail to Brian.
They put those on sale, and I was like, sweet, and I bought them both for Steam, because I'm an idiot, and forgot that Ass Creed Bro has multiplayer, and you have the 360 version, and anyway.
Why do you hate everything?
Mostly what? I just hate you.
What? God.
But, so I installed Assassin's Creed 2 and have started playing it, and that game is super freaking awesome.
Dude, I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah, it's the traversal is just really, really good. I'm using a 360 controller on my PC, which is working perfectly with a third-party mod because the game doesn't support it natively, which is stupid.
That's really doesn't make any sense.
It's asinine. Apparently, Ass Creed Bro does on the PC. But,
okay.
That is super rad. Also, in the Steam Summer Sale, I bought all of the Command & Conquer games that are on Steam. So Command & Conquer 3... and its two expansions, and Command & Conquer 4, and and Red Alert 3, and its expansions. So,
I heard those weren't very great.
I mean, they're not great, but particularly the Red Alert series, you come for the schlock, you know? I'm playing it on easy, I don't care about, you know, I'm not looking to, you know, micromanage the shit out of the game, but I'm here for Tim Curry with a Russian accent, a bunch of, you know, role players, doing what they do best.
Yeah.
Some super hot girls in tiny outfits, and full motion video. So, and, you know, it has all that, so I'm happy. And there's some very funny unit, you know, creation stuff. You know, one of the sides has got attack dogs, the Russian side has got attack bears, and so it's like,
that's
what?
Cool.
What the hell's going on? So anyway, it's just cool. It's, you know, particularly, I mean, I've played StarCraft 2 and finished that. We'll see if I finish the campaign for Red Alert. Probably not, but...
You finished StarCraft 2?
I did, yeah. Well, the campaign. You never really finish StarCraft 2.
It's like you
beat
WoW or something.
So I was just curious to check that out, and I had been listening to another podcast talk about Red Alert, and I was reminded about it, and I think I actually already own it somewhere, but I don't know where, so fuck it. So I played both of those. That's been most of my game playing this week. I played some iPad Baseball Stars as well. I finished the My League, which is where you play one player and just play the game when that person is involved. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to the season mode where you play all the players in all the games. And I decided that there's no fucking way I'm playing 45 real baseball games on my iPad, particularly with how janky that game controls. So I rejiggered it so I only control the players in key situations, and that has made it much more bearable.
To be fair, you would do that and have done
it. Well, that's the thing.
PC.
I did it in college for like a year of my life, and I don't need to do that again. Particularly since that game controlled okay, this game, you know, doesn't.
What game was that?
It's called Baseball Stars 11 or 2 or something. One of those two. It's the latest version of the baseball.
No, the game that you played in college.
Oh, High Heat Baseball 2001.
Yeah,
that was the shit.
Do you think you played that more than Mario Party?
Yes, because
the original Mario Party.
Yeah, because I played High Heat Baseball on my own. Hmm. I needed people to play Mario Party with, and I played a lot of Mario Party, but I played months of total. My / play on High Heat 2001 was months.
Really?
Oh yeah. Because I played like...
So more than WoW.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my WoW. I'd sit there and play fucking High Heat Baseball 2001 for 3 or 4 hours a night. Every night.
Yeah.
Instead of doing homework.
That's great. I what was going on at that time? At that time, for me, it was StarCraft.
Sure.
Diablo 2.
Yeah. Oh.
And, oh my God, so many hours in Diablo 2. And a bunch of other type games like Shadow Shadowrun, Shadow Man, and what is the name of that series? Soul Seeker? No, Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver. Yeah.
Man, I wonder where those games have gone. Legacy of Kain and all that. Those games were so awesome.
They're in development limbo because nobody's sure who owns the rights.
Yeah, I mean, it was Eidos at one point.
It was Eidos, but then they sold off a bunch of things, and nobody's sure what, you know. One group owns the Legacy of Kain name, but who owns the Soul Reaver name? And it's
yeah, the whole thing was just a mess.
Yeah, I have a gigantic urge to play a fucking fat loot game. I've been playing a game on my iPad a little bit, which is basically a like Diablo clone on my iPad. And I was like,
"What's it called?"
I can't fucking remember. Yeah, some generic Apple iPad game name, and that has made me super want to play something, but I don't want to go back and play Diablo 2 or Torchlight because I kind of know what those have to offer. Maybe I'll play Sacred.
I was just gonna say play Sacred too.
That game, shit.
That game is ridiculous.
That game is so crazy though. It's just
Too much.
It is too much. Anyway, so I just have had a super urge.
Play Titan Quest.
I finished fucking Titan Quest.
Really?
Yeah. I finished Titan Quest and I finished the expansion.
Didn't you try your hand at Dungeon Siege 3? I mean, we both played it.
I acquired Dungeon Siege 3 and then couldn't get it to run and decided it wasn't worth the effort to make it run. So,
it wasn't worth it. I don't think it was worth the effort of the download in the first place.
But. Well, but the download doesn't take any effort for me. Yeah. I just select it and have it go. I'm really looking for a Torchlight 2 release soon. It doesn't look like it's in the cards for this month or next month, but hopefully September. But with Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 on the horizon, those guys have got to be shitting themselves.
Yeah, it's really hard to know when that's going to come.
But we'll know more after BlizzCon.
Yeah, I'm hoping they will announce something at BlizzCon.
Yeah, and I guarantee you the Torchlight guys are hoping they announce that it's a 2012 release.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I guarantee you they're hoping to. I mean, they're originally hoping to have it out this month or last month. And
But they just released information that Torchlight has sold something like over a million copies across systems.
Yeah.
And good for them.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember Torchlight, when it originally came, was only 20 or 30 bucks. So that really helped it. And then getting on Xbox Live, where it's 15, I think, is really, probably helped them a lot. But that's, $1 million, that's funding their company for now, and that's great. But
yeah.
If they need Torchlight 2 to come out, they need to be able to sell that in advance of Diablo 3. Because as soon as Diablo 3 comes out, they're dosed. They're done.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question they have to get out. I mean, I was thinking that there was going to be some competition between them and Dungeon Siege 3, but it doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. It looks like they're putting together a really great game.
Absolutely.
Even better than the first one. Yeah. The only game I'm excited about is Greg Kasavin's game, Bastion.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
Yeah.
Less of a dungeon loot.
Less of a fat loot game, but just the storytelling mechanic in that and the kind of world that they seem to have created there looks really awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really super glad that they got into Summer of Arcade, which is coming up here.
That's true.
Weeks, so,
yeah.
What
else is coming out in Summer of Arcade?
There's a Kinect game, Fruit Ninja Kinect, Dust, which is supposed to be really good.
From Dust,
yeah, that supposed looks to be really good.
Sort of a world.
Imagine a world.
Yes, thank you.
Like
a world creation game, world alter game.
Got me.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
It's like you play this omniscient sort of being type thing. And
so like my real life.
Exactly the opposite of your
Yeah, pretty much. In as far as omniscient goes on the scale, I am the exact opposite on the scale. I know nothing. So that'll be good, and I think I will, because Sacred, I have Sacred on Steam, so yay Steam for always having what I previously bought. I wonder what my total games purchased on Steam is.
Dude, you should take a look at that.
It's probably like, I think the last time I checked it was like 130, so now it's probably like 140.
You know, I love that Steam keeps track of your slash play, because that's the thing that I don't think to do, and to take a look at, and then I was looking at Rift the other day, because I bought Rift through Steam, and I'm like, dude, like, there was a, it was a larger number than I had expected that I played through Rift. Like, I didn't realize that I put so much time into it.
Yeah.
But it's something like three days or 100, I think it was like 190 hours or something. I don't know, something crazy. So, like, maybe a week.
Yeah, I totally circumvented that because I bought Rift through Steam, then downloaded it from the Rift site and installed the client separately. So Steam, I don't launch it through Steam, so Steam has no fucking idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because all I had to do was set up an account using the license key and I was done.
So. I see.
So I think my Rift thing on Steam says 3 minutes played or some ridiculous shit.
So did you play anything else this week?
Trying to think. Played some Mortal Kombat. Downloaded Kenshi.
Nice.
He's pretty rad.
But you haven't gotten Scarlet.
Did not buy Scarlet. Probably will buy Scarlet tonight. Just because I'm a whore like that.
I can't believe you
didn't buy the fucking pass.
Yes.
Yeah, seriously. That was a major brain fart on my part. I mean, I bought the fucking L.A. Noire pass. I haven't finished that game. I haven't downloaded any of the fucking shit that it gave me. But just
brilliant. I mean, you're the one who... God. We talked about this before you even bought the Kenshi DLC. Don't talk to me.
Clearly not close enough to when it was available. God. Anyway, Kenshi is super cool.
Have you played with him at all?
I've done some practices with him just to look at his moves. Yeah, there's some pretty cool ones in there.
I'm really excited for Rain. I remember him in the, I think it was Mortal Kombat Trilogy he was in.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I don't know who the fourth character will be, though.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Ed Boon is actually at California Extreme right now, so he's like just down the peninsula.
That's cool.
I think that's pretty much it. I've been doing a lot of Shadowrun prep, futilely. But, you know, they're really trying to think of what else is on my desktop. Haven't played any more Out of the Park Baseball.
Have you jumped into Lotro recently?
I haven't jumped into Lotro, yeah. Every time they send me the email where it's like, hey, this weekend we're selling things off 20% off. I'm like, sweet, I should buy some of those. And I was like, why? I don't need them. I'm a fucking VIP. I already paid
$10. Yeah, that's true.
Did you see the discounted Rift subscription prices?
I mean, it's basically the same as Founders pricing.
I guess.
It's exactly the same. I mean, if you subscribe to like a 3 or 6 month thing at the beginning of the, when it launched, you know, it's basically the same pricing as it was then. But Lotro just did a thing where it's like $99 for a year. I figure if it's that, you better just get a lifetime subscription and get it for $200 or whatever, which we should have done years ago.
We should, should have done that.
God.
I'm not even going to say it. I was just going to say the next MMO we play, we should just go all in and get lifetime subscriptions.
Yes, it's going to be called Guild Wars 2, which you get a lifetime subscription.
Exactly, which you buy, and then they totally had the fucking Guild Wars pack for like $5, all three.
I saw that, games. And I was like, I already own this.
Yeah, me too. totally. When the hell is... I don't know. My feelings on the Guild Wars series, I am not as huge a fan as
you. You're right, just wrong, so I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think this one is going to be completely different from the first game anyway. So
I hope it's different in the ways that you know make it more palatable to me, because the first ones, while cool, did not have enough of the granularity that I wanted. So
well, you're mostly concerned about itemization, right?
I'm concerned about itemization, and the level cap was a little restrictive on Guild Wars.
Yeah.
So you know you'd hit the level cap and that's like, all right, sweet, I'm going to go PvP, and it's like meh. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to check it out. It looks cool.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for the game.
We should be pushing up against some release windows for some of these MMOs. I mean, some of these things we've been hearing about for 2 or 3 years.
There's no question. I mean, like the three big ones, obviously, you know, are Star Wars, The Old Republic, Terra, and Guild Wars 2. I mean, Terra, you got to think they're trying to get it out this year sometime.
I mean, you would think. I mean, Star Wars was pushed to early 2012, so we're not worrying about that. Guild Wars 2 and Terra, you would think. I mean, Guild Wars, I'm not sure where that team's head is at in terms of strategy, but you would think the Terra guys have got to be trying to get out ahead of Old Republic. So
most likely. I mean, I saw something about a Twitter or whatever that someone was asking about possible release window or beta window, and they said they haven't announced anything yet. Which I mean, they haven't, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that means that at least the beta, you got to hope for an open beta by the end of the year.
Yeah.
For Terra at the very least, but they've got to be trying to get that game out as soon as possible.
You would think, but you know, who knows.
And Guild Wars, I think it's probably going to be a 2012 release.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of actually, now that I think about it, that makes sense because with Torchlight and more importantly Diablo 3 coming out, Diablo 3 is going to scratch most of the same itches that a new MMO would for players. And so to release at the same time as any Blizzard product, but particularly Diablo 3, if you're a fantasy MMO, probably just say, fuck it, we're going to launch in 2012 because people are going to go fucking play Diablo and get all their itemization and all their character progression.
And online play and everything.
And online play, exactly.
But I mean, but that begs the question, I mean, that we talked about already, like, when is Diablo coming out? I mean, I mean, obviously developers, they can't gauge their launch dates just by Diablo 3, but nobody knows.
Yeah, but all signs point to a launch this year.
Most likely, yeah. You know, but you never know with Blizzard.
Yeah, it's true. If Blizzard pushes Diablo 3 into early 2012, or just like some amorphous like 2012, or don't announce a release date, oh god, the number of people are going to just poo themselves.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
Do you think Blizzard's going to announce anything else at BlizzCon, like a WoW expansion or a new game or something?
I guess they're about due for announcing another WoW expansion, right?
They pretty much are.
Yeah, but they've also got Titan in the works, so who knows what the fuck that is.
Yeah, and the second StarCraft installment.
Yeah, they've talked a little bit about that. They'll definitely talk more about that.
But I don't think they'd ride their whole show on that, is the thing.
No. I mean, they'll talk about whatever the next WoW patch is and shit. I mean, they don't need product announcements to keep the people of BlizzCon happy.
Yeah.
All they have to do is provide an in-game pet, and people will flock to the fucking BlizzCon. But
yeah, well, I don't know. I've been following some of the responses to the latest Firelands patch, and it's like people are so involved with the minutiae of that game,
mm-hmm.
That it just blows my mind, because I'm like, after, you know, letting my Rift subscription get canceled, like, and, you know, starting to look at other MMOs, I've been kind of fiending to play some WoW, and I'm just thinking about, like, all of the stuff that people complain at the end game of it, and neither you nor I have a capped character or at least at the current level cap, and I'm just like, dude, that game is still awesome for everything that I wanted. But I could see if you've been sitting at the level cap every time that they release an expansion, you get to see all of the little minute details of the things that piss you off about raiding or whatever, and people are just totally up in arms about it.
Yeah.
So for those people, maybe an expansion will do them some good. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't bet. I mean, even if they do announce a new expansion, it ain't coming out till 2012.
Yeah.
So those people will never be happy.
Yeah.
Then again, people who are capped in WoW probably aren't very happy anyway.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? Everybody finds their own happiness, but let me put it another way. If you're that concerned about the minutia of WoW and chomping at the bit for another level cap raise, you probably need another hobby.
Send your hate mail to Brian.
Yeah,
at
send
this.
It. So, send it.
Another thing, and I keep telling you this, you got to check out this game, The Secret World.
Oh, yeah.
That game.
That's.
They haven't said anything about it.
Okay, yeah. That looks pretty rad.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's right up your alley.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, the classless thing, and, you know, classless in terms of no classes, not, you know, they have no class. Well, but those mean the same thing. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it, but until I see more, and, you know, and it looks like, it, at least from the stuff I've seen of it, it looks kind of like a system hog, so...
Yeah, no, that's true. But I wonder if they'll go subscription or now, because it's Funcom, I wonder if they'll go the way of Age of Conan and release it as a free-to-play
game.
We'll
see how Age of Conan does. You know, if they see a gigantic spike in revenue from Age of Conan because of free-to-play, then they'll be like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... If they can sell 500,000 copies of the game, you know, that's $30 million right there. That's got to be a hefty chunk of their development budget, so that'll partially recoup their costs, and then they don't need the extra $15 a month from people.
Yeah. It's interesting that a game like that, what I was thinking, I brought it up because you were talking about, releasing a fantasy MMO in competition with Diablo 3. But that's a non-fantasy MMO, which is why I find it, you know, I think it could be interesting and open up a sort of a new genre for MMOs, but it doesn't have the sort of name behind it to really drive sales, except for Funcom, but I don't know.
I'm not sure how much like brand recognition works in your favor these days for an MMO. I think
it does a lot for Guild Wars too. I think there's.
That's even so. That's among a specialized group of people who know about Guild Wars. You know, World of Warcraft is the success that it is because it is sticky. You know, people talk about it, and you know, it's accessible for people who aren't, you know, normally even gamers to play and learn. Something like The Secret World or Guild Wars 2 or Terra or any of these sort of, you know, AAA MMOs that are coming out, you would, the number of people who are actually going to play that game, like to start, I mean, it's not WoW numbers. It just
is. It's not WoW numbers, but I think more people will play Guild Wars 2 because they know about Guild Wars than they will The Secret World.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you know, simply because it's a franchise.
Yeah, there's no question that that's the case. But, you know, even so, you're talking about, like, 130,000 people instead of 100,000. You know, it's not like Guild Wars 2 is going to have 500,000, relative numbers. It's not like Guild Wars 2 is going to have 500,000 people and Secret World is going to have 50,000. You know, Guild Wars, the Guild Wars name isn't going to give them a tenfold increase in the number of people who are going to play it.
I think it might. I mean, especially because Guild Wars is an international market.
Well, there's that. There's crazy Koreans.
You know, so like the Secret World, I mean, obviously people know Funcom because of Conan. And Conan, I think is in Scandinavia somewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll do something for them. But, I mean, it's not as popular a game as Guild Wars. You know?
No, and I mean, you say people know Funcom, but people like us know Funcom.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You know, just like people like us know NCSoft, you know, for all the stuff that they do.
Yeah.
Same thing with Guild Wars. It's not like somebody's going to walk into a Best Buy and see the box for Guild Wars 2 who doesn't know
sure.
Guild Wars and go, oh, I'd rather get that than The Secret World.
Sure.
They're both going to be shapeless, formless boxes that they go,
yeah.
I don't know anything about that. I'm
well, it's not even something like Lord of the Rings Online or...
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Even Star Trek Online.
Yeah, I think Lord of the Rings Online...
Someone might pick up.
Or Star Trek Online are the best examples of where it's like, your brand doesn't matter. You know, I mean, it's a good selling point. You know, the marketing teams love it because it's easy to be like, all right, let's sell this. We know how to sell this.
Yeah.
But the fact is that if the games themselves are not good, and Lord of the Rings was, but even so, I think LOTRO is probably the best example of a player base that is just sort of static. Here are the people who will play a Lord of the Rings MMO. You cannot grow that number significantly. It's probably not going to drop too much, but that's what it is. And,
yeah.
You know?
And they're really maximizing it by going to the free-to-play model. Because the people who are turned off by
yeah.
the subscription are just like, all right, well...
Well, you remove the major stumbling block for
yeah.
people playing the game. And
yeah.
And that's, you know, for an MMO, once you've reached that point where you sort of start static, you know, with the customer base, then it's like... We need reasons for people to stay, and we need reasons for people to stay and interact.
Yep.
So
you know, but interestingly enough, sort of a dark horse in all of this is Rift, because Trion Worlds, like I'm not sure what they've done previously. I know they've done some stuff, but I don't want to call them a new player to the game, but Rift is a new franchise, and they just announced that they're approaching or they have. Made their millionth subscriber or something like that. I mean, that's a great success for them, and I think that they're continuing to do well. And not based on any previous... It's not a sequel, you know, they don't have another... It's not like, wow, they did have some TV spots, but someone walking into a store knowing about Rift, I'm not sure that that's the norm, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's purely by good word of mouth. And the fact that Rift was so full-formed when it first came out and so complete and offered, you know... Basically, WoW plus, you know, that experience. That's the reason for its success. And I do believe that right now, you know, a successful MMO, you have to plan for your MMO to have 500,000 people playing.
Yeah.
I would assume that if you're successful, you're going to have a million people playing. Anything more than that would be insanity to plan for. You know, you just, I mean, you plan for the server load, but you don't expect it. Because I think a million people playing any one MMO is exactly what you're going to get.
Well, that's a huge success.
It is. I mean, yeah, I think
we've seen that MMOs can be successful in the terms that it's paying its, you know, dues with,
shit,
you
yeah.
know, 100,000.
Like, yeah,
you
know, 50. So. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that, I mean, that is that, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just think, congratulations to Rift for reaching a million subscribers, whatever that means. I don't know, you know. How their what that metric looks
like concurrent subscribers. Or
yeah, but you know that's great. You know, I would expect it to drop off to like 800,000 or something like that. But even so, that's great if they can sustain that. And assuming that all the development that they seem to be doing on that game doesn't cost them more than that. I mean, they have put out a quality product, but at the same time, I'm not playing it anymore. You know, it's sort of like, oh, this is good, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, interesting. So, what's our topic for this week?
Digital? Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, one of the things that Rift actually was kind of a forerunner on was the integration of social media into its interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
You could log in with your Twitter account and then post to Twitter from inside the game.
Yeah.
And it would have a Rift hashtag and what have you. And so we're going to talk about what we'd like to see, what we think social media could offer for games in the future. I think there's no question that we're going to see more and more of this integration as we move forward. You know, what's a good best practice and what's a bad best practice?
Yeah.
And at least from a consumer friendliness standpoint, you know, the Uncharted 3 beta has Facebook integration. And basically it says, hey, what's your Facebook?
Uncharted 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your Facebook? It goes to Facebook and says, hey, these friends of you who are on your Facebook are also playing the Uncharted 3 beta. Mm-hmm. And it creates a separate friends list for you with just those people from Facebook, and it shows you if they're playing. And that's it. It doesn't spam your Facebook feed. It doesn't do any of that bullshit kind of bad best practices
yeah.
that we've seen from games in the past. And that's a pretty good integration. But, you know, what other kind of social media stuff have we seen?
Well, I think Rift is a good example. I mean, Rift, the Twitter example is a good thing. And then a couple patches later after launching, they integrated also Facebook.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, it's not something that, I don't know. I haven't really got into it myself. Like, I'm the kind of person who I like to just tweet when I want to tweet something. I don't necessarily want to tweet something in-game.
Right.
I mean, if I had a community of people that I played with on Rift, I'd probably do that more frequently. Or, like, I mean, I can only think I would probably just @reply you something from Rift to, like, make fun of you or something.
Well, that's what I did. I set it up so that every time I tweeted something from Rift, it just went to you. that was the only thing. Because that would mean it wouldn't post my Facebook wall. Nobody else would see it except for you. I wonder if there's anybody who follows both of us on Twitter. Probably not.
There's got to be.
Nah, I mean, bots.
And but. Well, yeah. Speaking of bots, can we just take it aside for a second? I would love to know whatever algorithm that spam bots follow that get them to follow me for certain things. Like, I have no idea why some of them are following me. Like, sometimes I get, like, a hair salon will follow me or something like that. And I didn't say anything that has to do anything with, you know, hair products or cosmetics or anything like that. I'd love to figure out, like, I don't understand. I'd love to figure out what it is that I'm doing that makes these, you know, weird accounts follow me.
There's no man can say.
Yeah. But back to Rift. Like, if I were in a community or a guild or something, like, I probably would...
Totally.
Would do that. Especially if there was a way to, like, have it post to a Facebook group that I was part of or
mm-hmm.
something. There's a couple of other things that have been, like you said, Uncharted. I think, like, you can sync some of your trophies or your achievements, you know, to pop up. And I think that does not seem to be a valuable way of using Facebook and Twitter integration, because it's like, it just turns out to be spam. Like, great,
yeah.
I see you got a trophy or whatever. Like, that's great, but I don't really...
I don't care about this.
Yeah, if I cared about it, I would look at your, you know, trophy wall or something.
Well, that's one of the things that Google Plus rolled out last week and is rolling out as we speak. And their circles, which are much like groups, are actually independent in the sense that you can post certain things only to those circles. unlike Facebook, where all you can do is put people in groups and it determines what they can and can't see on your wall.
Right, yeah.
It's a much more difficult way to grok the filter system versus Google, where you say, I want to post this. Where's it going to go? Only to this group, this circle of people. So you could create a circle on Google Plus of gamers and then have your Uncharted, all the shit that, because you know they'll be interested in that stuff versus, you know,
I think that's great, yeah. I saw that, and I think that's a really great way of doing things. It's much more streamlined.
Absolutely.
But I do think, I mean, while we're talking about Facebook, this is not exactly about social media integration, but one of my, not so much pet peeve, but something that I'm really not into is that all of the developers in larger companies that are using their Facebook as their main mode of communication with players. I understand that a lot of people use Facebook specifically for that purpose, but that's not the way that I use it. You know, if I'm looking for information about patch notes or something, I'm going to go to a company's site. I'm going to go to their forums where they're most historically have been posted the most. A lot of sites, Tryon Worlds is a good example, very active on Twitter and Facebook, but mostly Twitter to get you to go to their Facebook pages. And I'm really not into that because it's a different kind of client to company interaction that maybe I'm just not, it's just not my style or something like that, but I feel like there's not enough there for me. Like at most, it's just a quick post about why there's some downtime for a hotfix or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm much more interested in going to a forum and seeing, you know, what the community manager is saying about whatever it is that they're doing and seeing some responses to that.
I mean, and that I think is a reflection of the fact that you and I, and I think, I mean, I suspect a large number of gamers, particularly core, quote unquote, core gamers, we're kind of tinkerers. You know, we want to go to the site and be presented with a wealth of options and say, all right, I'm going to go see what the hell you have to offer and know what you have to offer.
Yeah.
Versus the Facebook thing, which is a very single use, you know, go to this page, go to this other page. And what they really, really would like you to do is like that page on Facebook, which I refuse to do because then everybody can see the shit that I like. Fuck that. But it is interesting. The, you know, one of the things that MMOs have done, more so than any other game, largely because this would have happened either way and they can control it this way, is create communities around their games, particularly online. You know, you look at, like, the LOTRO, the My LOTRO stuff, where you've got, you know, lots of information about people who you've played with and your characters all available on the website. The forums are broken down into server-specific forums and all this stuff. They're really going out of their way to use... Not necessarily. This was their attempt to build their communities and sort of create that loyalty, you know, lock before social media. Now social media gives them a way to outreach to you on a more specific level. Maybe what they're missing is that what you really want is to have outreach and communication with other players of the game, not the people in who made the game. You know, we're really interested in going in and being like, yeah, I'm totally down with this server. You know, I really like these people. You get to know these people who are posting, and this guy's a douchetard, and this person's nice, and what have you. You know, when the company's like, hey, go to our Facebook page for the latest, you know, news about server outages, and it's like, well, but I like it because I go into the forums and everybody gets into the thing and says, oh my God, is the server down? It is. Totally is. How's your week going? Which totally happens every time. Every Tuesday when there's an update to an MMO, you go into the fucking forums and there's people sitting there like, la-di-da, okay.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's a completely different thing for Facebook. I mean, I used to be sort of a forum troll. Like, not in a negative sense, but like...
I got news for you. There's only one sense to forum troll, and it's a negative one.
Listen, if I want to write in all caps, that's my damn right. But like, I would just, you know, and I would, especially with games like LOTRO, when that game first came out, man, I'd be at work and I just want to play that game. So I'd get on the forum like everybody else, and people would be doing forum games and all these stuff.
Totally.
I really like that interaction. I don't think Facebook is really the right thing for that. Maybe there will be some Google Plus. And we, honestly, we have no idea what Google Plus is. I don't think anybody really has an idea of what it is or what it can be, but I think it has a lot of potential to do a lot of that stuff. You don't know. This is your problem right now.
No, I mean, I don't know anything about this. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I don't know anything specific about the service. I mean, I futzed around with it for like half an hour last night. But knowing what I know about Google, if they play this right, I think Facebook's in big trouble. So that's all I'm going to say.
Send your Google Plus friend requests. How does Google Plus friends work?
I have no fucking idea. It's plus.to.google/07,000,000-something. I don't know. Some crazy shit.
What is this?
This is your shortcut to your Google Plus profile.
Oh, I see. Well, is it? Are you familiar with Raptor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, if anyone who's not familiar with Raptor, it's like you sign up for an account and then you can put in your gamer tag from Xbox.
It's like
Live.
The giant bomb stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, and it basically pulls all of your information. Mm-hmm. From Steam and for whatever these things, the games you're playing, and it can be used as a tool to hook up with other players and stuff like that. I think it's a cool implementation, just like the Giant Bomb stuff, or I really like Steam because of the cross media platform that it has. I mean, I don't have a lot of friends on Xbox Live or on PSN, but I think that's cool for cross media. The cross media functionality that it has, although the PSN is much more recent in adding that than Xbox Live or Steam. But the thing about that, the thing about these different things, especially with Raptor, is that it's yet another social media platform.
Right.
That I'm already well invested to Facebook and Twitter, more so now. I'm getting more invested in Twitter as time goes on, although I have a ton of friends in Facebook. Like you said, there's a great possibility that Google Plus will far outdo any of these social media platforms in the next 5 years or so.
Yeah.
But do I really want to invest in something that's on the side like Raptor? Or
well, I don't think so. I mean, I think they need that was one of the early genius moves that Facebook made was the Facebook login. Where you could go, where sites could build a Facebook login. So you could just log in with your Facebook and then get that additional service of whatever that additional thing was. Raptor isn't built on that, it's...
But your Google login is for everything that you use.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm saying. So, it'll be really interesting. The time, unless you've got oodles and oodles of money, the time for creating your own social network, I think is over. It's time to kind of... All the jigsaw puzzle pieces are out there. Some of them are from other puzzles which we don't care about, so they're going to go away. But the ones that matter, that all fit together, whether it's 100 pieces, 20 pieces, or 5 pieces, I think it's going to be more like 5 pieces. But assuming once all those get figured out and fit into the puzzle, then we'll know where we stand. And places like Raptor will use those existing tools to somehow gain some extra functionality.
Yeah.
Giant Bomb... has the same sort of thing. You give them your login or whatever, and it brings in those things, gives you, assigns an arbitrary score for that, whatever. But there's nothing to stop them from saying, now we now do Facebook logins. It's the same fucking shit. It's fine.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. With the Windows 8 previews that they've had in the past couple of weeks, and also the changing of Xbox Live to more match the Windows 8 model, and the cross-media functionality of Windows 7 phones now with Xbox Live, how do you think that will interact with something like Google Plus?
That's one of the questions for the jigsaw puzzle. Is how are those things going to work together? We'll see a big bridging part of that when the Google OS rolls out. Because you can expect the Google Plus will be fully built into that.
Yeah.
Although, this is the problem. Google's starting has attracted and is really starting to attract the attention of the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
And this is
because
this
they know
is,
everything.
This is, well, and this is one of those things where even aside from that, Microsoft cannot bundle certain things with Windows because it's an antitrust problem. And
mm-hmm.
Google's running into the same problem.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Google is big enough and important enough, and frankly, the governmental oversight is sort of at a point where we could see some serious changes to kind of the way we expect these things to work. Google is looking to do no less than change the way we use the internet, and there's some advantages to that, and then there's some serious concerns.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that rolls out. But, you know, there is, I have no doubt that Microsoft is planning for some kind of unified login scheme, whether it's Facebook or something.
Yeah.
There, it just would be foolish to do otherwise.
Yeah. So, ideal scenario, best practices, best model of Facebook integration for let's say an MMO.
I mean, any game. I mean, I would love to be able to give a game my Facebook ID and have it say, okay, we'll let you know if any of your friends ever play this game. Because I would love, you know, presuming I'm still on Facebook whenever, you know, I've got 300 friends or whatever I end up with, you know, all of a sudden somebody who I had no fucking idea was a gamer starts playing some game I'm playing.
Yeah.
That would be super rad. It's a super, you know, social media people are all about discovery. You know, it's, you're discovering new music, you're discovering new friends, you're discovering new whatever. That would be a super cool thing to discover about a friend. Like, oh, you played it? That's rad.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I knew there was a reason that we really hit it off. So, you know, that's ideal. I am not a big, you know, post on my wall, you know, person. If people want to use that functionality, that's fine. Give me the same option I have now where it's like I click on the X next to that entry, say block all posts from this. You know, so I don't want to necessarily block that whole person. I just want to block them when they post on Charter Trophies. Give me that option. Let me see it once and then block it. And be
yeah.
That's
or,
fine.
Or the functionality to be able to tweet or post on your Facebook wall or Google Plus circle to a specific group of people.
Yeah, well, and that will come. I have no doubt that will come. You know, specifically, you know, URL shortening and photo sharing and stuff from inside a game would be rad.
Yeah,
you know,
very
cool. If you could, and Rift may have had this. I know you could take screenshots and video inside Rift, but I don't know if you could then post it to
well, that would be cool. Twitter. If you have like a guild Flickr account or
exactly,
something and like
yeah.
post it direct, that would be a really cool.
That would be super awesome. And that's, I expect we'll see that soon. But yeah, that would be, even though I'm not necessarily the kind of person who would use that, I can see guilds and communities, MMO communities, really getting into that, where it's
sure.
like super, you know, imagine a world event where you've got 1,000 people participating, and they are, you know, they are all taking pictures at the same time, and people who aren't actually participating can watch, can see those streams come
that's
in
awesome.
And watch that shit
so
happen in real time. So that would be ideal. You know, it's the sort of thing where it's like, a targeted audience. You can pick the audience you want to see it, and also, you know, flexibility in terms of what you're pushing to them.
Completely.
That should be ideal.
It's great. It's great also for guilds who want to do guild planning and stuff, where they actually have like a Google Wave type thing, maybe either in game or connected with the game or something like that. And to your earlier point about finding people on Facebook that play games, I think it works conversely if someone, if you or me or someone who's looking to play a game that we haven't played before and we look on our friends list and see, well, who's playing this game? It's like going into Steam and saying,
yeah.
you know, which one of my Steam friends plays this game? Like, how maybe I can ask them how they like it or if they're still playing it, you know, if I need to do some co-op or something like that. I think that's pretty rad. I mean, like, and there's something very cool about having friends playing stuff and knowing that they're playing it at that time.
Yeah.
Like, I've been getting really into turntable.fm since the beta is out, and just really liking, you know, playing music with different people. And every time I go on there, if one of my Facebook friends is DJing or listening to a room, they immediately come up. So I'm like, oh, dude, someone is doing this right now. It's like, it'd be like if someone's listening to a Pandora station right now and I can listen with them or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's the beauty of turntable. I mean, that's one of the great things about it. I fully expect Turntable to be bought by Pandora or somebody like
I'm
that.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Did you turn off the email notifications thing?
I tried to, and it wouldn't let me for a while.
Yeah, I fucking turned that shit off.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you. I was only following, like, three DJs, and unfortunately, they happen to be super hyperactive about being on Turntable. I was like, fuck, I don't care about this. Delete.
Yeah, and every time I tried to go on there, it wouldn't work because
it's
a beta. I guess their email is in beta.
It worked for me, so thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we've talked good about this subject.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Speaking of social media, you can find me on Twitter at BrianWP.
You can find me at @Sominator.
All right. You can feel free to send us email. The old-fashioned way of communicating,
yeah,
I guess.
Seriously.
Jesus.
Just tweet at us.
I'm so old.
We should get a snail mail address for the podcast.
Just to be fucking, you know. I don't even know the word archaic.
strgamercodcast@gmail.com.
That's right, thank you. Make sure you read the blog at strgamer.blogspot.com. What am I forgetting? Sam's phone number is... I don't even know your phone number. It's in my fucking cell phone. I never fucking call it.
Seriously. Dude, when do you think phone numbers are going to go away? We're just going to have like... freaking... it's just going to call your... it's going to call your email.
Skype. I mean, it basically already has.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Pretty much.
Kids today, no fucking idea what their friends' phone numbers are.
This is true.
Think about when you were a kid.
Kids today don't know what a beeper is.
Yeah, well. Yeah, well,
or a Thundercat, damn it.
Well, we'll have this conversation offline, but I was talking with a young girl I work with today about the changes in assigned readings from when I was a kid, like, because she's never read Fahrenheit 451. And I was like, but I can understand it. It's a different time. So that'll do it. We will catch you next week.
See you next time.